Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Ches. We're learning today's shir Lenishmas Morris Leibowitz, Moshe ben Tzvi, Alan Leibowitz's father. We begin the Gemara at the two dots, about 8 lines from the top, and the Mishnah is quoted. The Mishnah tells us, Mayim kedei loshuv behem esakilor, that the amount of water that you can take out, again, all of these shiurim that we've been discussing are minimal shiurim for which you're chayiv chatas. You're not allowed to take out anything. Again, chatzi shiur is also in the Torah. You can't carry anything on Shabbos, but in order to be chayiv chatas, you have to take out something that is considered significant. And the minimum shiur of significance is what we've been talking about for various items. So the Mishnah tells us that if you take out water, it's the amount of water that you need to add to this type of medicinal eye salve in order to make it go on the eye. Now, Omer Abaya, Abaya tells us, Michtei, let's take a look over here. Kol milso de shricha velo shricha. If you have something over here that is commonly used for one thing, and it's uncommonly used for something else. Rashi explains, Dibra Maskul Michtei, 3 lines from the top. Kol sheshiaru chachomim le'inyin Shabbos. When the rabbis were calculating what's considered something significant for Shabbos. V'hu roi l'shnei dvarim. But it can be used for 2 things, one a larger shear and one a smaller shear. So, chado shchicha, one is commonly used, v'chado lo shchicha, and the other usage is an uncommon usage compared to the first one. So then, which is the one that you figure out the minimum shear? So the rule is, azul rabbanon bishurin basar de shchicha. So the rabbis chose the one that is more commonly used, the common usage, that's the shear, regardless of whether it's l'chum or l'kula. V'afil l'kula. Even if it's going to lead to a leniency. In other words, the common usage is a larger amount. The unusual usage is a smaller amount. So one might have said, well, since it's sometimes used for the smaller amount, that should be the minimal shir, the b'chayv achatas. So the answer is no. Sheshireh gadda, you go after the larger one that is shriach. That's the stam default position. Fine. So Abaye tells us, back to the Gemara, kol milso d'shrich v'lo shrich, when you have a common and an uncommon usage, we go after the common usage, even if it leads to a kula. We don't say you have to go l'chumra, even if it leads to a kula. When you have shchicha v'shchicha, when you have 2 common usages, however, and they're different shiurim, then then you follow the one that is the smaller shiur, even though you could argue the other one is also common. No, but when they're both common, then you follow the smaller shiur. That's the principle that Abaye tells us. Therefore, l'maisa, Yayin shisiyaso shricha, wine, which drinking wine is common. Rifuaso, but to use wine for some medicinal purpose to add it to this kilor to make a salve for your eye, lo shricha, that's irregular usage, not uncommon usage. Therefore, you can take the shiurim, you take the shiur for drinking. Ozu rabbanon basar shisiyaso, the shricha, and that's lakula. The amount of wine that you put into the salve to put on your eye is a smaller amount than the amount of wine that you drink. So therefore, one is usual, the drinking, one is unusual, the putting it into the salve. Therefore, you can take the larger shear, which is lakula, and say that's the minimal shear for which you chayv chatas, the drinking shear, and not the eye salve shear. Cholav, milk, achilas shricha, to drink milk. Here we're talking about kosher milk. Remember we said in the Mishnah, talking about the Rav Avadja Mibar Tanur, it said, in non-kosher milk, then there is no drinking, so they only go after the refuah purposes. But when the milk is kosher, cholov, achilas shricha, the drinking of the milk, that's the more common usage of milk. Refuaso, to put it into this isab, lo shricha, it's uncommon. Therefore, azul rabban and basar achilaso, lakula. Therefore, we also take the larger shear over here, which is the drinking, and the smaller amount that you put into the isab. And therefore, milk also, like wine, you have a choice between common and uncommon. You follow the common, even though that's going to lead to a kula, because the common one is a larger shear, and therefore you're not going to be chayev achatas until you take out the larger shear. Good. Dvash, however, honey. Now, honey, achilaso shricha, rufuaso shricha. Here, they're both likely to be used, either for eating purposes or for medicinal purposes. And therefore, based upon Abaye's principle, azul rabbanon basa rufuaso l'chumra. Therefore, since they're both equal, you go after the more, the smaller shear, you have to go l'chumra, and therefore, the smaller shear for the dvash is the amount that you put on the wound, like we said, the wound on the back of the camel or the donkey, or the wound on your palm or on your sole. Fine, that's all clear. Now, no problems. Now the Gemara says, however, elamayim, but water. Michti, let's check this out. Shtiyaso shchicha, rufuas lo shchicha. Drinking water, that's really common. But putting water into this eye salve, that's uncommon. So therefore, My time Azul Rabbanan Basar Rufuwasu Lukhumra. So then, based upon our rule, we should have taken the larger Lakula Shir, which is drinking a revius of water. Why, in this situation, is it the amount that you put into the Kilar? That's an unusual usage. It's Lo Shriach, and therefore we should ignore it. That's the question, based upon Abaye's principle. So Abaye answers, I'm Abaye. We're talking here Beglila Shanu. We're talking here about water in the Galil. Rashi explains, Beglila Shanu, Shehein Aniyim, the people in the Galil were very poor, and therefore they never used anything that is valuable to put into their kilor. Umakpidin bedavr muat, even a small amount, they were so poor that they were makpid not to waste even a small amount, and therefore v'chosin al yayin, they would be very careful not to use any wine in their kilor, or even chalav, loshuv kilor, to put into the kilor, and the ain shofet al b'mayim, and they only used water. So therefore v'hukach in the Galil, water was used for drinking, but it was also very commonly used for this medicinal salve. And therefore, this is shchicha u'shchicha. And therefore, you go after the more chomer dikah, smaller shear. Fine. That's Abaye's teretz. On the side, he brings down in the Masoros HaShatz, you can also see this in Tosos, that he says that this is talking about in the Galil, pirish mei Galil. It's talking about the waters of the Galil. Oh, these waters of the Galil were not only used for drinking, they were well known for their medicinal purposes. Shein yiduin, kimoilin la'ayin b'kilor, kimo mei dekolim. These were especially good for putting into these salves. So it's not talking about in the Galil with poor people, like Rashi says, but it's talking about Galilean water. And this Galil water was specifically used for medicinal purposes. So therefore, with shchiach, again, the same answer, shchiach for shchiach, then you go after the more smaller shear, l'chumra. That's Abaye's teretz. Rava Ma'a, Rava says, Afil tema b'shar mekomos. We're even talking here about other places, not in the Galil or the Galil waters, Kiddush Shmuel. And he holds like Shmuel. That's what Rava says. What does Shmuel say? Dama Shmuel. Kol shakyani masu umetalli. Rashi explains, kol shakyani means any type of mashkin that you use to add to the kilor. All of them, masu. Now, again, we said many times, masu means to heal. So it's masu hacholi. It clears up the eye problem. However, umetalli, Rashi explains, mesachachin ala ayin, when you smear it on the eye, umodin mariso, it prevents you from seeing. It's a thick salve. Achichala mariso legamri, until it eventually dissolves. Mibnei shein ovin, because they're thick, viniglodin kimin devek, and therefore they close the eye. It's like you have a crust on the eye until that dissolves. So you actually have a negative because you're putting this salve on to make you see better, but right now you can't see at all because it's crusting over on the eye. That's with all other liquids. Levar, mimaya. However, water is beneficial. Demasu, not only does it heal, the low metalli, but it doesn't go and cause this thickness, this covering over here. It doesn't cloud the eye, and therefore water is special. That's why water is shchiach in this situation, even in all places. Fine. Then we quote the Mishnah. Says the shar kol mashkin revius. All the other types of mashkin we use a revius for. We quote a brisa. Tana Rabban. The brisa says dam v'chol mine mashkin. Dam in all of the mashkin. Tosa says it means v'shar mine mashkin. Doesn't mean over here all other mashkin. It means all other mashkin that we have not given a shear to. So the shear in general is revius. Now what do you use dam for? So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, the purpose that we use the dam for is dam kidei lichko ba'ayin achas, to go and put this makeup or this medicine on one eye. That's what we use this for. Why would you use it on only one eye? Shekein kochlin lebarkis. Rashi explains that this is something called mila shobaletis ba'ayin. You have some sort of a foreign body in your eye. So they would put this on in order to heal the foreign body sensation, the foreign body problem. Fine. That's what they would use this dam for. Umaynihu, what dam exactly is this? So it's dama de tarnagoles bra. This is the blood that's used for a tarnagoles bra, a wild hen. That's tarnagoles bra. Rashi explains over here, Me'ezadam kochlin also, they use this wild hen's blood to heal this eye problem of the foreign body in the eye. Rabbeinu Hananel over here, on the side of the Gemara, he says that this tarnagolis bra is something called the duchifas. So we find this in Chumash. This is the duchifas, is a certain type of bird. Or he says, oh, shel atalef, or it's a type of a bat. And he used this to, again, heal this foreign body that's in the eye. The next, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Dam Kidei Licho Bo Ayin Achas, why would you go and put this Dam into one eye? Shekin Kochlin LeYorud. We go and use it for this disease known as Yorud. Rashi tells us a couple of things that this disease is. It's something like a cataract, Tavlul, or it's something called Chorur. And he says these tipos dako shalubon hanoldos ba'ayin. There's some of these white things inside the eye itself. Again, maybe like a cataract or some other illness. In any event, that's what this blood is for. And what blood is this? Umay nihu. What blood do you use for this internal eye problem as opposed to the foreign body external? So he says here you use doma de krushtina. Krushtina, Rashi tells us, is an atalev. Here he says it's the bat. Shakur and taufa. In any event, that's what this is used for. How are you supposed to remember when you use the wild hen's blood for the external, and when you use this atalef or this krushtina's blood, that's for the inner problem of the eye, the inner disease of the eye? So he says, v'simonech, to remember this, gava ligava, the one that is inside is for inside. This atalef, this inside creature, it lives in the yishuv, Rashi says, is inside, so that's for the disease that's inside the eye. And the bra, the outside disease, the foreign body, libra, that you remember with the tarnagol ta bra, the outside, the hen, the wild hen. So therefore, that's the simon over here for a person to remember which one is which. Fine. Now the Gemara says, b'medvar mamurim, what are we talking about over here? B'motzi, when you take it out. This is the amount, if you go from the Shusha Yochid into the Shusha Rabbim, that you're chayav for. Now, avo b'matzniya, but if it's something that you used, we'll see in the Gemara, this is very enigmatic, the Gemara is going to explain, it's something that you consider significant, even though it's not the normal shear. So that's what will eventually explain this. Avo b'matzniya, kol shu chayav. Even a kol shu, if you take out, is chayav. So this would be the answer, eventually. Right now, it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara is going to say, b'motzi matzniya, they're the same thing. If you take it out, you take it out. So we'll eventually answer the b'motzi is the normal amount, and matzniya is when a person uses a smaller amount. So then, if he considers that smaller amount significant, it becomes significant, and therefore you'd be chayiv. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Shimon Omer, b'me'advar, b'amur, what are you talking about, b'matzniya? He's saying that only the person who's matzniya it is going to be chayiv. Avo b'motzi, but if you're talking about anybody else, then you have to have a normal shear of ruvius. That's the final answer that the Gemara is going to give us. The Gemara is going to ask us, none of this makes sense. I'm trying to make it so it makes sense when we read it right now. The Chachamim agree to Rabbi Shimon that b'motzi shofachim v'shus harabim sheshirim ruvius. When you're throwing out garbage water, so then they agree that this is the shear of a ruvius, even the Chachamim amoded to Rabbi Shimon in this situation that less is not going to make you chayiv. Now we go back and discuss this. So this enigmatic brisa, which I explained to you, so it's not hopefully so enigmatic, says, b'medvar mamurim, what are we talking about? B'motzi, abu b'matzniya kol shu. The shear of revius is b'motzi, but b'matzniya, and then motzi, then it's a kol shu. So Gemara says, atu matzniya lav motzi yo. The matzniya doesn't mean that you just hide it in your house. It means it's something that you consider significant. In other words, you hid it, you use it. But here we're talking about motzi, that you took it outside. So what's the difference between motzi and matzniya? So one says, Amar Abaye, Hach, my skin, you know what we're talking about. B'talmid Shavu Lo Rabbo, with a student that his Rebbe told him. Student and Rebbe isn't only used for a Talmud Chacham and the Tzurv, the Rabbanon, the Rebbe and the Talmud. It's also talking about any Uman. So Rashi gives us the example over here that we're talking about Kigo Shule Denagri. So the carpenter's assistant over here. So in any event, the carpenter tells him, I want you to go. Lech upani li hamokim l'suda. I want to go eat. So you got to get rid of all the stuff from the table. And he tells him to take it outside. So therefore, halach upinalo. So the Talmud over here, the student, goes and takes out the items. Now, he took them out from the Shusha Yochid to Shusha Rabin. He didn't realize it was us or whatever the situation was. So now, davar choshev lakol, if it's something that everybody uses, so then, chayev ilave. Then, if he took out the entire shear that everybody uses, so then you would be chayev. Okay, but if it's davar she'enu chashel kol, it's something that's normally not considered significant for everybody else. However, in the Rebbe's case, if the Rebbe considered it significant because he put it there, he stored it there, so then when the student takes it out, so then the Rebbe's machshiving of it, the Rebbe making it into something chashev, so then that Talmud, by definition, is also following along with the Rebbe making a chashev, so then the Talmud takes it out, even though the Talmud doesn't think it's chashev, but based upon the Rebbe's being machshev, so it becomes chashev for the Talmud as well, and it's considered that the Talmud took out something significant, he's chayv achatas. But if the Rebbe didn't really think it was significant, it just happened to be a piece of junk that's over there, so then lo mechayev, then the Talmud would be mechayev as well. So the Tanakama's opinion is that you go by the Rebbe's machshevit. If the Rebbe is machshevit, so then it's chashev for other people as well. Once the Rebbe is machshevit, lav dafka is the Rebbe, it's once a person is machshevit, so anybody else that takes it out is also now going to be over if he takes it out the entire thing. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar disagrees. Amamar, then we said, Modeh Chachamim Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim agree with Rabbi Shimon. But when you're dealing with wastewater, b'motzi shofchim v'shusar rabim, so then, shiurim b'revius. Then it's revius. So Gemara says, but why even a revius? Shofachin l'may chazu. What's this wastewater valuable for? It's garbage. You can't drink it. So therefore, maybe you shouldn't be chayiv at all, even if you take out more than a revius. So Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yirmiya, l'gabel ben esatit. No, it does have value. You could go make cement out of it. You could go pour it into mud and mix it and have some useful product. So therefore, this wastewater, while it's not potable, you're not going to drink it, but it's not dirty wastewater, it's not sewage water, it's just dirty water. So you could use it over here to be megabel when it's a tit, to go and knead the clay. So Gemara says, wait a second, but Tanya, we learned in another brisa that the shear for clay is much smaller than that. Tit, if you want to take out tit, so then kidei lasos ben pikor. It's enough to just make a very small little utensil over here, this pikor. So therefore, in this situation, you should be chayev for taking out the tit. So then, in order to make this, it's a very small amount of water. So then the shear shouldn't be a revius. The shear should be the amount of water needed to make this pikor. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Lo kasha. Ha de migbal. Nobody's going to go take out water and knead for this little pikor. When you're taking out water and kneading, you're making a larger amount. And the minimal larger amount is a revius. So, ha de migbal, when we're dealing over here in the brisa, that's already been kneaded. So then this is considered significant. This little pikor is considered significant. But nobody's going to go take out water just to knead a pikor. When you don't have anything ready, so then you need at least the revius of water to make a significant amount over here of the clay into this hardened material. Nobody's going to go and take out just to make a pikor. When you're making it, you make a whole bunch of stuff. Once you've made the pikor, now the pikor is considered significant. If you carry that out, you're chayev achatas. Next Mishnah. Hamotzi chevel, kidei lasos ozen lekupa. The amount of rope that you have to take out to be chayev. What's considered significant by rope? The Mishnah continues in our discussion of things that are significant. So the amount that you take out of rope is enough to make a handle over here, an achuza for the basket, to make an ozen for the basket. Rashi says, la'ochaz abo, to go be able to hold on to it. So rope will hold on to this basket. That's how much rope is considered significant. Gemi, this reeds. How much do you need to take out of that? Kedei lasos talai, in order to make over here, also a talai, something that you can do tully, you can hang it for a nap and a cover, for these various types of sieves. So this is different. You use over here gemi, you don't use the chevel. The Gemara will explain why not. Why wouldn't the shear be over here for a chevel as well? Why over here is it only for gemi? Reviewed disagrees. Reviewed omer, kedei li tomimenu midas mina lekoton. He says the shear over here of this rope or the gemi is the amount, it's a smaller amount that you need to measure the sole of a child in order to put shoes on him. In other words, this is that measuring stick that you're using over here for a child's foot. That's a smaller amount than the amount that's needed to make the handle for the kupa or for the tlai, for the nap and the kavra. So you only need to take out over here a small amount of these items to be chayev, because you can use a small amount over here to measure the foot of a child and use it to make his shoes. Then, niyar, how much paper do you have to take out? Kedei lichtov lo kesher muhsin. You have to write on it a tax collector's receipt. Rashi says, yesh cha'adam shenotzin ha-mechas l'rosh ha-nar. They had a bridge. This is the easy pass of those days. So you took out your money, you paid the guy collecting the taxes to go across the bridge, b'makom echad. And you got a receipt. Omochalo b'matana. Or you got a receipt saying that you don't have to pay the taxes. And he gives you the receipt, laharos lemoches, to show anybody, other tax collectors or the bridge collector, shemochel amechas, that you don't have to pay the tax over here. And the way it was with Darko Lichto Bo Shtei Osios Vein Gedolos Bishtei Osios Shalonu, they would write two very large letters on it, and this was larger than the normal print that they would have, and this is called the Kesher Shel Muhsin. So this amount of paper that you need to write on it, a Kesher Shel Muhsin, these two large letters, that is considered significant. And if you carry this out, you're chayev. Now this seems to be redundant. So Tosfos says, we turn to the Omid Beis. The Tosfos is actually on the Omid Beis, Shaykh to the Mishnah. It says, "Vamoti keshem olsin chayev." It's Yuch Lashmin. It had to tell us this. Afilu kosal of a cloth. The teacher said, even if you wrote it on a cloth, and normally the cloth has a much larger shear because cloth is more expensive. You're not going to waste it on a tax collector's receipt. So Afilu got the time to sum with the sheer cloth. Kedei licht over love parshuk etan shem tefillin. But nevertheless, if you did write on it this tax receipt, so then in this situation you will be chayev. In general, Niyar, the Mishnah continues, is machuk. If it's already been written on and now it's erased, so you can't write any shtar on it because you're always going to be afraid that it's going to look like something is erased on it and the shtar is going to be invalid. So what's the value of such an erased piece of paper? It doesn't have any value as a writing. What is it used for? Kedei lichroch al tzluchis k'tanosh palyotin. We had this previously. This is these little containers of balsam oil that the women used to wear around their necks in order to not have a bad odor from their body. They would mask their odors. They didn't have the same hygiene that we do in terms of bathing, so they would mask their odors with these types of little containers of this balsam. Tzluchis ktana shel palyotin. In any event, they had to be sealed so the balsam shouldn't spill out. So they would take these pieces of mochuk niyor, they take these pieces of paper that had been erased on them and they can't really use them for a shtar, so they would use them as a bottle cap. They would use them to stuff up over here the tzluchis ktana shel palyotin. Fine. Or what's the minimal shear of a hide? What's the minimal amount that you can use a hide for? They lassos kameya. They'd write an amulet on it. So we learned previously the amulets can be worn on Shabbos if they're proven, etc. So if you're just carrying out a hide that would be able to be made to be written an amulet on it, it's large enough. So then that's the shear considered chashivas. If you take out such a or that you'd be chayiv chatas by accident if you took it out. Then we have words that are in parentheses. This is incorrect. The Marshal says it shouldn't be over yet. We'll learn about it a little bit later on in the Gemara in tomorrow's Shia. In any event, we'll delete it for now. Klav, a parchment, so that's something that's already more chashiv. You're not going to use it just to write a tax collector's receipt on it, as we pointed out. So here, kedei lichtov all of parsha ketanish betfilin. Here, the Shia is that you have to write, has to be a big enough piece of cloth over here that you could write on it the smallest parasha of the tefillin, the four parashas of the tefillin, and the smallest one is Shehi, Shema Yisrael, the Shema Yisrael, Shema Avayim, Shema, Kadosh Vayel, Ki Yivecha. So Shema is the smallest of the four parashos. So why are you telling me that? So the Tosfos Yontif brings down that you might have thought that since all four parashos are necessary in the tefillin, if you only have three parashos, it's not kosher tefillin, so you might have thought that they're ma'akev, and therefore you'd have to write, have a piece of cloth over here that you can write all four parashos on. So the answer is no. Even one parasha, the smallest parasha, is enough to be mechayev over here. The Mishnah continues and it says, Dio, how much ink do you have to carry out on Shabbos in order to be mechayev achatos? So the Mishnah says, kedei lichtov shtei osios, enough to write two letters. That's the minimal shear. And if you write two letters, that is considered significant. Where did they write two letters? So Rashi reminds us over here, lir shomo shtei chulyo shel kli, on two parts of a kli to show that they go together. Oh, I'll crush him, lezavgon. Or in the base in the Mishkan, they used to have the crushing, the boards, and they wanted to always have them in the same place. So you shouldn't go from a lower Kedusha to a higher Kedusha to a lower Kedusha. So therefore, they would number the boards. So they would have the boards next to each other. So the writing of two osios, that's considered significant. And that's why if you carry out enough ink to write two osios, that's considered significant. Kochol, some sort of makeup on the eye, kedelicho ayin achas, to go and put makeup on one eye, that's considered significant. Why one eye? The Gemara will discuss. Devek, how much glue, and what do they use glue for? So, kidei litein berosh hashafshof. They would put glue on these boards. Gemara will tell us that they would put this on to capture birds. The birds would alight on these boards, and they would be stuck there because of the glue. So, what's considered a significant amount of glue that you could go and capture a bird? Fine, enough to put on a board. Zephyrs, vigophris, this pitch or this sulfur, what would they use for? The minimal shear, kedei lassos nekev. They would make some sort of a hole. So Rashi explains over here, he adds the word katan. He says, kedei lassos nekev katan. And he says, kli shenosnim bo kesef chai. Things that they would put in live silver, quick silver, which is mercury. So same piv bezephyrs, they would seal off the container of mercury with some sort of zephyrs, pitch or tar or gophers or sulfur. And then, when they needed to spill out some of the mercury, they would make a small little puncture in the seal, and then they would reseal it. So that amount of zephyrs and gophers that would be needed, to go and seal the hole that they would make to allow a little bit of mercury to come out, that's the shear of zephyrs and gophers. Shaiva, what's the minimal shear of wax? Here, the Gemara has the Girsa Nekiv Katan as well as Rashi having it. So here's enough to go plug up the hole. The Gemara is going to tell us this is referring to a wine barrel that they would take out the wine from. They'd have to plug it up so the wine wouldn't spill out. So enough wax that you could put in there to plug up such a hole. Then Charsis, what is Charsis? So Rashi tells us over here that this is Levena Ketusha. This is a crushed brick. In other words, this is some sort of like an earthenware now pieces. Kedelasos Pikur Shel Tzarfei Zahav. The goldsmiths, so they would go and use this over here, and they needed to plug up something, so they would make it over here, this pikur, this little container that we spoke about previously, so they'd have to plug it up. So that's what they would use this charsis for. The minimal shear for that is to plug up this pikur, like we had on the Amud Aleph. Rehud Omer, no. He says, Kedei lasos pitput. In order to make a pitput, that's how much you need over here, this crushed brick. What is a pitput? He says, it is a holding place, regel l'makom moshav akor. This is for this pikur. They would place it on this pitput. Shemoshiv in al-kain ha'asi l'kach. They would put it on this place to rest. Kigon tripod, a tripod, lishvos ha'kedera, to put a kedera on. So that's what this amount of charsis that you have to take out is significant for. Subin, the coarse bran that you have, the whole wheat pot. So he says, Rashi explains, this is for kidelitin al pikur shel tzarfei zahav, the Mishnah says, and Rashi explains, b'makom shein pechamim, where they didn't have coals, tzarfin zahav ba'esh shel subin. They would go and do the smith work on the gold, when they would go and heat up the gold, so the tzarfei zahav would use over here the subin as their firewood in this situation where they didn't have pechamim, where they didn't have coals. Others give different explanations. We'll just be happy with Rashi's explanation for now. Sid, the lime, what's the minimal shear of lime? They lawsuit ketana shebebanos, to go and do the ketana. We'll see this means an aver katan of a young girl. The chiddush over here is that you can't go and do the entire body at the same time. That we'll see is dangerous. So the minimal amount that they would be significant for would be to do, let's say, like the little finger of a little girl. Fine. That's the shear according to the Tanakhama. Review domer, kidei lasos kilkul. It's enough lime over here that you can mat down the hair on the temple. The Gemara is going to tell us the temples. So the hair is pressed down. It's like using it to make it flat on the hair on the side of the temples. That's a beauty process. So you need enough lime to do that. And the Chaimi says even a smaller shear, kidei lasod undefi, enough to put on the undefi, that means the forehead. And the Gemara will discuss this in a little bit more detail, and we'll wait till we get there. Gemara now starts off and tells us, why for the rope do we say that you only chayev if you put it on the type of instrument that we said was a kupa? So you put it on some sort of a basket, but not if you put it on the napa and the kavra. So the Gemara is asking, why not over here for the rope? Why is it only for the basket and not for the napa and the kavra? So the Gemara answers, kiven d'charik b'mana, a rope is sharp. It can cut through the wooden napa and kavra. And therefore, they wouldn't use it for the napa and kavra. They would use those reeds instead. And therefore, law of the inshe, that's why it didn't mention the shear for the rope in regards to the napa and the kavra. It only mentions in regard to the kufsa. Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Hutzin Rashi tells us, or shalulove deko. These are the palm fronds. So, kidei lasos, how much is considered significant in the braisa of taking out the hutzin? Kidei lasos ozen lasal kfifa mitzvahs. The amount that you need to go make some sort of a handle over here for the wicker type baskets, kfifa mitzvahs. Fine. Siv. Rashi explains the siv is godel soviv hadekel. This grows around the palm tree. It's like a malbush, kain malbush. The nichrach svivo sov ola. That's why it's called siv. It goes around it. And this amount, significant over here, taking out the sieve, is Acherim tell us, the Acherim is often Rav Meir, not always. Acherim tell us, Omrim kidei litain al pi mashpech koton. Rashi explains that they would use this over here, lesanin es hayayin. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Shema'akev apsoles v'akimochim melikonis lefi akli. So they would use this as like a container, a tube, a funnel of some sort, that they would pour the wine through this tube, and they would use this sieve over here to strain it. So therefore, it would prevent it from going inside the little solus over here, the kemach, and the other things in the wine, the impurities, from going into the wine barrel. Fine. The Brisa continues, Revav is grease. Tosos points out over here in the top Tosos that Rashi tells us over here it's shuman o shemen. It's some sort of oily, waxy oil. But Tosus says it's not really oil, it's really grease over here, because shemen, we already had a shear in the Mishnah, the size of a small girl's baby born, first day born, small little joint on the finger, on the pinky. So therefore, this shemen over here, this revav, is talking about grease and not talking about oil. In any event, what's the shear? So the Braisa says, k'dei losuch tachas ispogin kitana. It's enough that you can smear it on the bottom of this ispogin. Rashi says this is a rekik, it's like a little piece of cake. She knows in Batana that they would bake in the oven, v'tochen tachtav aya, and they would smear it with this grease over here in order that you would be able to easily take it in and take it out of the oven. They didn't have it on trays, they slapped it onto the wall, and it would stick to the wall, and it would be hard to remove it, but they put grease on it, so it's like you grease a frying pan, you can remove the item from the frying pan much easier if it has grease on it. So too, that's what they greased it with. Tosus point out that this would make it fleishig, and that's a problem. The aya is the tail fat of a sheep, and therefore that would make it fleishig, and you're not allowed to normally make fleishig of breads unless it was in the form of something that was clearly like a meat potato knish, or, for example, like a cheese Danish. So you're not allowed to make milchik or fleishig of bread, because it could easily be mistaken for parva, and then you wouldn't know it. So you're only allowed to make a milchika bread, like a cheese Danish, or a fleishika bread, like a meat knish, in those types of situations, because it's clearly looking like it. So here he's talking about where it clearly looks like it as well. No, that's the shear that we said of revav. The kama shiura, how much is this to smear it on the bottom of this piece of cake, this rokik? So the Gemara says besela, the amount that's a sela, like a certain size coin of a sela. Gemara says, well, Tanya, we learned in the price of kirogaris that the amount is a dried fig. So Gemara answers, idividi chachiru, it's the same shear. The dried fig and the shear of a sela are the same. The price continues, mochin, these are these tufts of soft material. Could be cotton, it could be other material. Kidei lasos kadur kitana, to make a small little ball. The kamashiro, how much is this? In fact, goes like the size of a walnut. Niyar, how much paper is considered significant? Kidei lichtov alav kesha mochsin, the amount that you would write on it, this receipt, this tax receptor's receipt that we talked about. Gemara says, wait a second, Tana, we learned in another brisa, kama kesha mochsin, how big is this tax collector's receipt over here? Now, the girsa that we have, shel kesha mochsin, we delete, and we say that the shear is as follows. And look on the side, it tells us the girsa of the Aruch. Kama kesha mochsin, shtei osios b'chsav yevoni, shein gedola me osiosav shalanu. So he says the right girsa should be over here. How big is this? You could write two large letters on it in the Greek language, b'chsav yevoni, and these two large letters, which is common, then osio shalanu, then the Hebrew letters. So this is the size of this receipt that you'd be chayiv on if you took out the piece of paper this size. More questions is, wait a second, Raminu says in a brisa, hamotzi niyo chaluk, if you take out a piece of paper that's clean, it's chaluk, it's smooth, it has nothing on it, so im yesh bo kidei lichtov shtei osios chayiv, if it has room enough on it to write two osios, so then it considers a significant piece of paper, and if you carry it out on Shabbos by accident, you'd be chayiv achatas. V'im lav, no, potter. If not, so then you wouldn't be chayiv. So this seems to say that it's the regular letters, all letters, and not the larger Yevoni letters, Zakasha, steer in the two brises. So we have a couple of terutzim. Amar Rosheshes tells us over here, when it says in this brisa, shtei osios, my shtei osios, what's it referring to? Shtei osios, shel kesha mochsin. It's talking about the Greek letters. It's talking about the larger letters, the os Yevoni, and not the Hebrew letters. That's terutz number one. Terutz number two, Rav Amar, no, shtei osios didon. This Niyar Chaluk is talking about two smaller letters, our Hebrew letters, not the Greek larger letters. I, then they're not the same shear. But he says, our piece of paper over here, the Niyar, which has the smaller letters on it, also has to have a base achiza, also has to have a space that you're holding it on. And when you take the space plus the two smaller Hebrew letters, that's Hainu Keshem Mosen. That's the same size as the slightly larger piece of paper that you can write the two Greek letters on. So it's either the piece of paper that has two Greek letters on it, that size, or it's a piece of paper that has two Hebrew letters on it and something to hold on to it. And therefore, it's the same size. More questions, this Teretz of Rav Meisva. He says, wait a second. Hamotzi niya mochuk, we learned that if you take out a piece of paper that was mochuk, so you can't use it for a shtar because it's going to be always concerned that you're erasing what's on the shtar and rewriting it, or shtar perua, or if you take out a shtar that was already paid back and therefore you're not using it as a shtar, so if you want to use this, what would you use it for? So it says, im yesh balo venshlo, if in the part that's white, kidei lichtov shteyosios, there's still room to write two letters, then it's considered significant. O, bekulo, or in all of it, kidei lichroch al bitzluchas kana shol palyotin, or it can be used as a bottle cap, as a stopper over here for this flask of balsam. So in these situations, if it's big enough for that, chayev. Vimla potter, but if it's not, then you're going to be potter. So then this goes against what Rava just said. Now, why? Bishlam Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Sheshes gave us the first teretz that it's talking about the shteyosios of the moches. It's talking about the two letters that are the larger letters, so then it's no problem. So in this situation, the Amar, my shteyosios, shteyosios shokesha mosin, so shapir, it works out very well. That is exactly over here what it says, the two letters. But El Rav, Adama, shteyosios didan, ubeis achiza, that it's two small Hebrew letters, and you just need a little bit of paper on the side to hold on to it. So then in this niyar mochuk, you already have places to hold on to it, the mochuk part. So if you're saying over here, like Rav, dainu kesher mochsin, that it's the same size as the kesher mochsin, hocha, beis achiza lo tzarech. In our case over here, you shouldn't need the beis achiza. Why not? Because you already have the mochuk part to hold on to. As Rashi says over here, if you look at it, you can hold on to it on the erased part, or on the shtar in the part where it's written on. And then you can write two letters to make it significant. So in this situation, Rava is going against the Braisa. Rava's an Amora. So when it says Kasha, Taka, he has a problem. Again, Kasha doesn't mean Tiyufta. Even Tiyufta doesn't always mean Tiyufta that it's unanswerable. But Kasha means it's a teretz, but the Gemara, for whatever the reason, isn't going to give it right now. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, Amotzi Kesha Mosin, if you take out this receipt, this tax collector's receipt, so Achelo Hero Lemochis Chayim. Everybody agrees, if you haven't used it yet, so it's still viable as a valuable tool in order to go and get out of having to pay the taxes, you're given it as a present, or you paid it already, so then, if you haven't used it, so certainly if you carry it out on Shabbos, it's considered something that's significant, and yechayev achatas. However, misha'aru lemoches potter. But the Braisa says, if you showed it already to the tax collector, so then it's worthless, and therefore it's not considered a dovah choshev, and if you carried it out on Shabbos, well, you're not allowed to do that, you wouldn't be chayev achatas. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Review the disagrees. Review the Omer. Review the says, no. Even if you showed it to the tax collector, you're still using it, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Because you still need it. What do you need it for according to Rabbi Yehuda? What's the difference? Rabbi Yehuda says it's still usable and the Tanakhama says it's not usable. What's the point of distinction between the two of them? So Amar Abaye, Ika Benayu, Rihite Mursa. It's whether the tax collector is sometimes going to run after you and say, hey, did you really pay the taxes or not? Show me your receipt. So according to the Tanakhama, you're going to go back if he says, I don't know if you paid the taxes or not. Let's go back to the tax collector that you paid. Oh, he'll recognize you, and you go back. So they're not going to ask you for the tax receipt. You're going to have to go back there anyway. They're not going to accept the receipt. So you got to go back there anyway, so the receipt is worthless. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. If you show this guy that came running after you, this Rihite Mursa, so the assistant to the tax collector, if you show him the receipt, he's not going to make you come back. Therefore, there's still value in holding on to it. And therefore, if you carried it out, you'd be Chayv Achatas. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Amar, Moches Godol, Moches Katon, Ikim Enayim. There's a difference between you have the main guy that's collecting the taxes, he's the Moches Godol, and the subordinate, the assistant tax collector, the Moches Katon. So in this situation, Tanakhama says, once you've shown it already to the main official, you're not going to show it to anybody else. It's like pasnish to show it to somebody else. But Rav Yehuda says, no, maybe you'll show it to the other guy, and this way you won't have to run back to the main tax collector. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says it's still significant. Fine, they each have a slightly different value in on whether this will be good or not. Rashi brings down that why won't you have to go back, according to the Tanakhama, to the main tax collector, and therefore you'd want to show him the receipt? Because he says when you got the receipt, he also told you a certain type of a simon. He gave you a code of some sort. And therefore, the minor tax collector will ask, not for your receipt, he'll ask you what the code is, and you'll tell him the code. Therefore, the receipt isn't necessary. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rav Ashi Amar, Chad Mokhi Sika Benayah. When you have one tax collector only, so we're not concerned with the runner, we're not concerned with the Mokhi's Gadol, Mokhi's Katan, but they're arguing, the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, even if there's only one tax collector, whether this document that you have, this tax receipt, has any value. So the Tanakam says it has no value, therefore you're not chayiv anymore. But Rav Yehuda says, Mimei Shet Sarich Loch, Laharos L'Mokhi Sheni. Because you want to show people that you're an Erlicha person. How do you show somebody you're an Erlicha person? Look, I pay my taxes. So therefore, next time you're going to a bridge, and let's say you don't have money on you, you're going to say, listen, I pay my taxes. Don't worry. I'm more than happy to pay you. Look, here's a receipt that I used previously to pay. So the Amalei, Chazi, look, Gavro de Mochis, and I'm a guy that pays his taxes. And therefore, review this says, you'll still hold on to this tax receipt because it got benefits for you, it could have some usage, and therefore, if you'd carried it out, you would still be considered choshev, significant, and you'd be chayiv achatas. Gemara continues and brings another brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Amotzi Shtar Chov. If you take out a shtar, a document that says that Reuven owes you money, so when the document hasn't yet been used, in other words, he still owes you the money, achilo pro, if Reuven hasn't paid you back the money, so then everybody agrees you're chayiv. In this situation, it's a valid document, it's a choshev document, so therefore, if you carried it out by accident, you'd be chayiv. However, misha pro, but once the document's been paid back, then potter, then you're not allowed to kick it out on Shabbos. However, you wouldn't be chayiv chatas if you carried it out on Shabbos. Again, the Tanakhama says it has no value. And again, Rav Yehuda says it does have value. Rav Yehuda omer, af misha pro chayiv. Even if you paid it back, nevertheless, this document still has some value. Why? Because you need it. You can still use it. Again, why does the Tanakhama say it has no value? And Ryuda says it does have value. So Amar Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi says the difference between them is as follows. Also, Lashos Shtar Perua Ikabinayu. The difference is, are you allowed to retain a document that's been paid back? It could be a real Takola. The person has this document and it's already been paid back, and yet he could go collect with it a second time. So therefore, the Tanakhama says, Rabbanan Sabre, the Tanakhama holds also Lashul Shtar Perua. It's forbidden for a person to use this Shtar Perua as a bottle cap, or to use it to plug up the plaiton. You're not allowed to use it. You have to throw it away, because it's a real takala. If you go and keep it, so then it would be a problem. As Rashi brings down over here, in Dira Masel also Lashos, he says, Atishkon Bolecha Avla, don't keep something bad in your house. Therefore, Hilkoch Mavul Omashi Leilutzur Apitzuchasayu. He's not going to use it as a bottle cap because it's a dangerous thing to keep around because you come to go and collect from it a second time. Ryuda disagrees. Ryuda says, "No, Mutalashu Shtapurur. You're allowed to keep such a Shtapurur in your possession. I want to use it as a bottle cap. Why can't I?" Therefore, Mutter actually says, "Hilkoch Kiotzio Mavul Chayiv the Tzorch Lulichoch Mitzluchis because it can be used as a bottle cap, so he feels it has some value." That's teretz number one. We have a whole bunch of terutzim up here. Teretz number two, Abaya Amar, Dukuli Amor, Salashu Shtapuru. No, everybody says, don't use this as a bottle cap. That's not a good idea to plug up a bottle because it could then be used to collect again. Somebody unscrupulous could use it to collect the chov again. So everybody says, you got to get rid of it. So then what are they reviewed in the Tanakhama arguing about? They're arguing about whether, if a document is being brought out against somebody, you normally have to go and verify that it's a valid document, that the signatures on it are real, that the people who signed it are in fact in existence, that they're true people and they're not fakers or charlatans that signed on it. So you have to have that it's a valid document. But what happens if the other guy agrees? He says, you don't have to prove it to me. I know it's a valid document. So b'mode b'shtar shekasovo, if the person who borrowed the money says, I know that that's a valid document, in that situation, he normally would then have to pay. But he also says, Rashi says, pesh osa peshit. He says, yes, it's a valid document. However, I paid it back. So in this situation, the Tanakam and Yehuda are having a machlokes. They're arguing over here whether that valid document now has any validity to it because it was a pesh osa pesh yiter. Tanakam says that even if I'm molded to it, you have to be mekayim it. My being molded to it, I said I paid it back. So it's not valid right now. So until you validate it, it's not considered something that is considered significant. Once you admit that it's a valid document, then you have to prove that you paid it back. I don't have to prove anymore that it's a valid document. And therefore, this document is valid and it's good. And therefore, if I were to carry it out by accident, I'd be chayev. I, my achlo pro, umisha pro, when it uses that language, what does it mean? It means achyo melove parati, until the lover says, I paid it back, or the lover says, no, I didn't pay it back. So that's what it refers to, and that's the machlokus over here. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three, Rav Amar, the kuli amamo de bishtar shiksova shorot chaimo. No, everybody says that even though he's mo de bishtar, so if he's a pesha asar, then you have to be validated in order for it to be a good shtar. That nobody disagrees with. Aye, then what are they arguing about? Tanakam Rav Yehuda, v'ocha, bekosvin shover coming from you. Did you write a receipt or not? The guy says, I don't have this document anymore, but I want to take your money back. So I can't give you my document, and then you can rip it up, but I'll write you a receipt. So in this situation, whether you write a receipt or not is what they're talking about. V'ocha, bekosvin shover coming from you. Tanakama saw our kosin shover. Tanakama says, you write a shover in this situation. The person who borrowed the money has to accept the shover, and even though he hasn't gotten the document back, he accepts the shover. And therefore, with the shover, the original document is now worthless. So therefore, according to the Tanakama, the original document has no value, and therefore, if somebody would carry it out by accident, it would have no value, and therefore, you're not chayv chatas. As opposed to Yehuda Sovar and Kosin Shover. You can't make the guy write a Shover, and therefore this original document could be collected on, and therefore it still has value. So even if he paid it back, this document has to be returned to the borrower so he can rip it up. Therefore, it still has value, and Yehuda says, Yubi Chai V'chatas. The fourth and final teretz, Rav Ashi Amar, Mipnei Shetzorich Lairos L'Bal Chov Sheni. Again, this is similar to the idea when you had only one tax collector. So what was the concern? So you wanted to have the Tanakama says it has no value. And Yehuda said it has value. You may want to show it to another tax collector to show that you're a trustworthy person. Same idea over here. When you have this document that's been paid back, so according to Tanakama, has no value whatsoever. So therefore, if you carry it out by accident, you're not going to be chayev. However, this guy needs to borrow money all the time, but he wants to show he has a good credit record. The Amalei says, look, Chazi, Gavra de Parana, I paid back my previous loan, so I'm a good person to loan money to. So that's why it's the less value to him to have this document. And therefore, Rav Yehuda would say, if you carry this out by accident, you would be chayev. With that, we conclude today's shir.